Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and today we'll continue our exciting study of the words of Jesus, "I am come a light into the world." I am Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on the declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I started on the cry of Jesus in John chapter 12, and we want to continue on this cry of Jesus in the temple a few days before his crucifixion in Jerusalem. It says in John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that has seen me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." I told you that I was going to bring into focus three great truths out of this threefold cry of Jesus. The first one is that Jesus here reasserts his oneness with the Father. Secondly, Jesus here presents himself as the light of the world. And finally, here in these last moments before his death, Jesus is telling mankind what we shall be judged by. I already covered that Jesus reasserted his oneness with the Father last week, and so today we're going into the second point, that Jesus presents himself as a light of the world. He says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." This word light is somewhat peculiar to John. John uses it 24 times in his gospel. In John 1 alone, he uses the word light 5 times. Like, for example, in John 1:4, he says that he is the light of men, and that he came as a light shining in the darkness. So this is why the gospel of John is called the Gospel of Light by some. And John, more strongly than any writer I know of, sees everything in terms of light and darkness. In fact, the word gray is only mentioned 5 times in the whole Bible, and each time it is mentioned, it refers to gray hair. So the Bible, we can say, does not recognize theologically, nor doctrinally, nor spiritually, the color gray. In that sense, the color gray is not in the Bible. So what we call gray, God calls black. What we call gray areas, God calls black areas. In Genesis 1, we find out that the very first act of God in all of history is that God separated the light from the darkness. And I assume that the first darkness that was upon the face of the deep was really more gray in our eyes than dark or black. Because the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So in that primordial darkness, there was light. And since there was light in that primordial darkness, we can assume that that darkness was more like gray, or more gray than black. But God did not call it gray, because to God, there are only 2 colors, morally speaking. There are only 2 spiritual colors, doctrinal colors, and that's black or white. And no matter how much light there is in darkness, if there's any darkness in light, God calls it black, and he has nothing to do with it. So we either are the children of light or we are the children of darkness, but none of us are the children of the gray. And this is also brought out so beautifully in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. To those new with the Word of God, John the Apostle wrote a gospel, the Gospel of John. He wrote 3 letters. They're called the Epistles of John. And he wrote the Revelation, the last book of the Bible. In 1 John 1, 5, John says, "This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That's the message, he says. That's the message we all need to get, that there is no gray with God, that in Him is light, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if you walk with God, we'll have nothing to do with a gray, because gray in the eyes of God is black. Oh, how the devil tells us, well, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of sin in your life, with a little bit of cursing or jesting or foolishness. Yet Jesus says we shall be judged for every idle word that cometh out of our mouth. Yes, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If there's any sin in our lives, my friend, we are not in the gray, we're really in the black. And Jesus came to save us out of the black. And this gets us back to John 12 again, the words of our Lord, when He says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Yes, can you see the word should? If we want to be Christians, we should not abide in darkness, in any gray area which to God is the same as darkness. I like the way it reads in the Amplified Bible, this 46th verse. It says, I have come as a light into the world, so that whoever believes in me, whoever cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, may not continue to live in darkness. May not. In other words, continue to live in any gray area, because all gray has darkness in it. Again, the very first act of God was to pull all the light out of the darkness, as to keep light and darkness separate forever. And once we see that, once we know that, we know we must be holy, for it says in the book of Hebrews, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Again, I want to speak to all these precious Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus and Jews. God loves every one of you. And Jesus died for every one of you, for it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. So Jesus gave His lifeblood for every person in the world, no matter what their religious affiliation or convictions are. But know today that only Jesus can pull any one of us out of the darkness. Only Jesus can do that. Without Him, we all will be in darkness. Yes, in different shades of darkness, which some may say, but to God it's all darkness. Isn't it wonderful that there's a Savior called Jesus, who has come as a light into the world to pull us out of darkness. Now then, let me go to my third point, the third cry of Jesus, as we may call it. The first one was that Jesus identified Himself with God in His cry. The second one was that Jesus proclaimed Himself as a light of the world. And the third one is Jesus tells us here how we will be judged. Isn't that important? It's extremely important that we know how we will be judged. We must all appear at the judgment seat. It says in verse 47 of this text, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus did not come to judge, but to save the world. But that does not mean, my friend, that there will be no judgment. Jesus tells us here that there will be a judgment indeed. How then, and by what means, shall we be judged? And the answer is, we shall be judged by His word, by Christ's word, because Christ's word is God's word. Every word Jesus ever spake was God's word. It says in verse 49 of this text, Jesus speaking, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So it looks at first that the gospel teachings are the words of Jesus. No, not only so. They are the very words of God Himself. For Jesus says, for I have not spoken of myself, but what the Father tells me to speak. So Jesus says that on the judgment, you and I will be judged by what he said, because what he said is of God. And you and I will be judged by all words spoken by God, whether they be spoken by Jesus himself directly, or by his apostles, or his prophets, or his judges, or by any other servants of the Lord, by apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, as they have become, as they were, the mouthpieces of God. There's an interesting story that makes this all very plain, and that's in Luke chapter 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. This passage indeed tells us more clearly how all men will be judged, because here is a story of a rich man who refused to take care of a poor beggar at his gate. And the beggar, whose name was Lazarus, died, and the rich man died. The rich man was buried, but the poor man was carried. When you die, are you going to be buried, or are you going to be carried? That depends on how you lived. So the poor man Lazarus was a saint of God. He was carried into Abram's bosom. The rich man found himself in hell, and in hell it says the rich man cried out, and he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers who knew they were not saved. Now, this is a very interesting thing here. The rich man had three prayer requests. He did not seem to pray much on earth, but he prayed in hell. The first prayer request was he wanted a drop of water, and that was not granted him. The second one, he wanted to send Lazarus, to have Lazarus sent to his brothers and tell them about living for God, and that was not granted. In fact, Abraham answered him and said to him, "Your five brothers have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And so this rich man from hell responded. He said, "Nay, Father." That is, he disagreed with Abraham. And here we come to the third prayer request. The rich man says, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And Abraham said to him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuade it, though one rose from the dead." Loved ones, we are getting this message, aren't we? The message is that, as Jesus said, we shall be judged by the word of God, whether it come through Moses, whether it come through the prophets, whether it has come through Jesus directly and his message in the Gospels, or whether it has come through apostles, or whether it's come through God's servants who have an ear for God's voice today. We shall be judged by the word of God. Jesus says, "I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world, but the words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Perhaps, apparently, these five brothers had the Word of God in their homes. Perhaps they had the Old Testament on the coffee table or in the bedroom, or perhaps they had a copy in the kitchen. They had the Word of God. They had Moses and the prophets in their homes, but they did not read the Word of God, or they did not pay close attention to it, and so, my friend, they were on their way to hell. They did not seem to be aware of the fact that that the very judgment of God was in the house, in that book. I would say the Bible is a tremendous book, and it is both dangerous and also wonderful. It is a two-edged sword. It separates light from darkness. It leaves no room for the gray, and my friend, it separates mankind on the day of judgment, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting damnation. So I spoke to you today on the threefold cry of Jesus. The first cry was, "I and the Father are one." The second cry was, "I am the light of the world." And the third cry, "We shall be judged by the word of God." Now I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.